Hare Krishna. I would like to affectionately welcome all of you for this really last full session. There will be a small summary tomorrow, but this is the last full session on Bilva Mangala Thakur's amazing work, the Krishna Kanamrita. Let us remember that Lord Chaitanya relished the verses of Krishna Kanamrita together with the verses of Chandidas and Vidyapati and Jayadev Goswami. But it was, he found solace in the verses when he felt the deep pangs of separation, which are like a scorching sun on the heart. But different from the normal sun, which is drying up the lotus and eventually killing the lotus flower, the lotus of our heart is very much enriched by the feelings of Vipralamba. It is through these feelings that Krishna's glories are revealed, and also his sweet qualities like his mercy. And it's the realistic starting point for all devotees who wish to enter into the secrets of, or into the Krishna consciousness. Today, so this feeling was very much displayed in the pages of Krishna Kanamrita. And when we read these heart-wrenching prayers of Srila Bhakti, Srila Bilva Mangala Thakur, we are really reminded of an incident which took place in with Madhavendra Puri. I think you all remember at the time when he was leaving this body, he was overwhelmed with feelings of separations. He actually described a verse, or spoke a verse which Radharani spoke right after Krishna left for Mathura. Ayi dina dayatra nata he. Ayi dina dayatra nata he. Something, and then kadava lochane. That, dina dayatra, you are merciful to the fallen, but what has happened with you? You are leaving us. You are have gone to Mathura. The trees in Vrindavan, they shed tears. The roads, which were once populated with enthusiastic devotees of you, are empty. Everything appears to be void. And sometimes we see Mother Yashoda going that road with toys which you used. She takes the toys which you have played with and goes to Mathura, thinking that you need your toys, you need to play with your toys. So we see all these things, but we ask this one question: what has happened with your kind nature? Now you are in Mathura, you are together with others, not with your dear devotees of Braj. So this feeling, where are you, my Lord? How can I now spend my days? This feeling was there in Madhavendra Puri at the time when he left his body. He presented this in a tearful mood. And obviously, such a deep longing for Krishna brings what with Krishna? The union. Yes, thank you. The union of Sambhoga. So, yesterday I said that Mahaprabhu displayed these feelings to show us what is the right inner climate, the right inner biosphere, so to say, that makes Krishna consciousness grow. And we were saying this, and there is, of course, an objection coming that this is easy to display by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Maharaji, I'm what I am. I'm an ordinary conditioned soul. I do cry when my friends leave me, but I don't cry for Krishna. But there is a very important and easy entrance point into this into this state of consciousness. I described to you my own journey when I was hanging on a thin thread between life and death at this hospital in Pforzheim. Pforzheim is a town in Germany. When we Germans hear this, we laugh because it sounds like passing air. Pforz. In English, fart. It has, imagine you live in a town which has that type of name. But there was the best surgeon at that time in Germany for what I needed to be done on me. So I went into the hospital there in Pforzheim. And soon was negotiating with Yamaraj, really. It was very... And the doctor had told me, you better pray now. And at that time, I noticed a feeling which comes for a conditioned soul because he feels separated from... before he can feel separated from Krishna. That feeling is simply a deep feeling of regret, almost a shameful feeling that, what have I done with my life? Where is Krishna for me? He seems to be so far away still. After all these sadhanas, after all these years of listening to lectures, Krishna is still so far, far away. And at that time, when you become a little bit honest, frank and free and open, and regret a life which without Krishna consciousness, then you will feel a deep longing and with it a feeling of separation. It is natural if you are honest. It is unnatural if you prefer to remain dishonest in your spiritual life. So today I wish to deal with another highlight in Bilwa Mangala Thakur's exalted teachings. Remember, at the outset of our seminar, we said how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described his philosophy in 5 points. And we are now at the point where we consider the highest mode of worship of Krishna, which is that of the gopis. So in the method of the gopis, there are two of worship. There are two elements. One is a feeling of longing. And the second element, you know, intense yearning to serve Krishna. Not just longing to attain Krishna for their own pleasure, but longing to serve Krishna. And in that longing is expressed by the gopis in the same way in which Mahaprabhu expressed it through the same method in that is Nam Sankirtan, or chanting the holy name. I came yesterday a little late and do not know if this was covered in, but you know, when the gopis couldn't find Krishna after he had left them, they went to the moonlit, crystal-like, camphor, sand-like shore of the Yamuna. They sat down and they sang his holy name with plaintive voice. Says, this singing of Krishna's holy name is at once the way in which we, as conditioned, in which also we, as conditioned soul, can express our feelings for Krishna, and at the same time, it is bringing about a union with Krishna. Do you know the first meeting which you will have with Krishna is not necessarily in the land of Vrindavan, in some holy place. The first meeting with Krishna is when you meet him in the form in which he is most accessible, that is his holy name. You will see at that time when you chant, you are in the presence of Krishna, because his name is non-different from himself. And this is, my dear devotees, the greatest, greatest gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He gave us the holy name with that feeling, this coveted feeling of longing. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami describes with two images how the holy name should be chanted by devotees. His first image is that of the thirsty Chakora bird who rejects all the pools of waters and only drinks from the water cloud. I think I spoke about this image already and will not repeat it. The second is of the Chakravarti bird. They run through the forest in the night. They run through the forest in the night. The man runs in one direction. His partner runs in another direction. And they call out for each other, but they can't meet. So these two images from the animal kingdom, so to say, from the bird kingdom, we should say, gives us an idea how we should chant, with a feeling of need, a feeling of necessity. I need you, Krishna. Like a thirsty bird needs the cloud, the water, rainwater-bearing cloud, and I need you just like a person who looks for his dear beloved partner in life. So this is how you chant. And when you chant, my dear devotees, with some devotional feelings like this, something happens. You will actually enter the secrets of the Nam Tattva. There is a verse which I would like to quote to highlight this gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a really amazing verse which I heard His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj chant at various times. Na nama satarisham jnanam, na nama satarisham vratam, na nama satarisham dhyanam, na nama satarisham phalam. Think you begin to understand about what this verse is, huh? Na nama satrishas tyago, na nama satrishas shama, na nama satrisham punyam, na nama satrishi gatihi, na maiva paramam priti, and so on. It's all about the name. He said, it's from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, or it is actually from the Adi Purana, but it is quoted in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's about Krishna's meeting with his dear friend Arjuna, and in that meeting Krishna makes a few key points to Arjuna, and here's one of them. He says, Krishna, there's no understanding equal to that possessed by one who chants the holy name. Sorry. There is no vow equal to the chanting of the holy name. If you want to do vratas, the best vrata or vow is to chant the holy name. We all chant our 16 rounds. That's a best vrata. There is no meditation equal to the chanting of the holy name. Yes, chanting and meditating about Krishna's pastime. Very good. There is no benefit equal to that which is gained by chanting the holy name. And it goes on. There is no detachment as good as chanting. There is no peace equal to that experienced by one who chants the holy name. And really a long, long list is there. I will not go down the long list, because how much can a human being remember at one stage? But really, this chanting of Krishna's holy name, you will also find that highlighted in the Krishna Kanamrita. There is a verse. Can I sing this verse to you? Jaya, 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 deva, 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 tribhuvana mangala divya namadeya. Jaya, 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 deva, krishna, deva, shravano mano nayanamrita vyatara. He says, all glories, and he is so blissful that he has to say it a third time, all glories to you. O Lord, so blissful, he says, O Lord, O Lord, whose holy name is auspicious for all the three worlds. All glories, to you, Lord Krishna. You are the incarnation who are nectar for the ear, that's when you hear the holy name, for the mind, that's when you meditate about the holy name, and finally the eyes, that's when you see Nam Prabhu arising in your heart. You see Krishna coming with all his associates as you chant. So this Sangatan of the holy name is praised throughout the centuries, throughout the various Vedic scriptures, as the best means and the most powerful means to attract love of Godhead or Krishna Prem. This mantra acts like a very powerful mantra. The holy name acts like a very powerful mantra that can attract precious objects which are lying far away in the distance. It's something you may not know. I also have no experience of this myself. But apparently there are mantras. Oh yes, I have one experience of this. Which you chant. And as you chant this mantra, things which are distant, which lie distant in the future, in the future also maybe, but in the distance I wanted to say, they are attracted to you. One of these mantras, which I know, is the Gopal Gayatri mantra. And it says in one scripture that when you chant it with a material inclination, that is a material desire, that desire will be fulfilled. There are certain meditations when you must, for instance, when you want to be wealthy, is this of interest for some of you? You chant the Gopal mantra and you meditate on the Damodar Lila while you do this, and then wealth will come your way. I didn't believe this because rational mind is also sometimes there. But I had a chance to experience it. I wrote on my book, the Gayatri book, and then I finished a few chapters and then went on pilgrimage in the Himalayas. And while I was in the Himalayas, I somehow lost the group with whom I was traveling, and it was my own fault. I had sat down and read so many songs and prayers, and the group continued. And anyways, I was in a hurry after some time, and I ran very fast. And when I ran so fast, I did not pay full attention to the narrow path, and I fell down for a few meters. And when I landed, it made that ugly sound which those of us know who have broken their bones. And the pain went like, oh. And I remember I was lying down, I was holding my leg, and there was a fracture. It was had broken. And yeah, what do you do when it's becoming night in the Himalaya and you have a broken leg? You can't walk. And it was also not possible to crawl because I had fallen down. Normally when your leg breaks, no problem, it can be healed. You crawl and somehow pull the bad leg after you. But how do you crawl up something which is steep? You know, you need your four feet. 2 feet and how many feet we have? 2 feet only, and two hands. So I decided, okay, let me now experience with the theory, and I forgot what I had to, there was something you had to meditate while you chant the Gopal mantra. So I knew that at that time. I've never done it again. I chanted and wished that that health would come, a far distant object. And I went, I cannot speak it loud, the mantra. And my dear devotees, it's an honest statement that somehow, I don't know how, but it came together. And I mean, I did not put the full weight on it because I don't want to fracture it again when it's so freshly come together. But it came together. I could walk on, not walk, I could climb and get out of the, you know, where it was. And I could walk with the leg. And when I arrived, when I reached the destination, I think it was, no, I remember it was, what is it called? Before Gangotri, there is a station. Bhojbasa. When I reached Bhojbasa, then I was all right. Was no problem. Then I had dysentery, but that's another thing. So, but I did not want to chant the Gopal Gayatri Mantra for that problem. I thought that we have to take care of ourselves. You know, fractures are something in another category. So yes, this example is given. The Sankirtan of the holy names is praised as the best and most powerful means to attract Krishna prema. It acts like a powerful mantra that can attract precious objects from the distance. No? Krishna prema comes as you chant. And this is really what I would like to highlight now in a very nice verse from Krishna Kanamrita, which we want to sing. I want to bring you back to the time where Bilva Mangala Thakur hits the brick wall. He comes back to his He is suffering from his old attraction. He is there waiting in the upper room for the pious lady to come up and serve his desires. And he notices all of a sudden what he's doing. Oh no, again, I'm exchanging mundane pleasure with spiritual pleasures. Again, I choose sense gratification over Krishna's pleasure. And that's because I'm still so vulnerable. And when I see a beautiful form, I become attracted in the old ways. So he took, he asked for the hairpins of the lady and then pierced out or poked out his eyes. Can you imagine if you have a guest who is a sadhu, whom you can see, he is dressed like a sadhu, but he has also the expression in his face of a sadhu, and he does such a thing in your house, how upset you feel, how guilty you feel, how the grihasthas were just pain-stricken and said, Mahatmaji, why have you done this? You please now stay in our house. We will take care of your life. Bilva Mangala Thakur, still in pain, said, please leave me at the mercy of the Lord. Krishna will look after me. I now only want to see him, and therefore I have stopped seeing the objects of the world. So he was very determined. He cried while he was saying this. It was his real wish, and the grihastha had no other choice. He said with his wife, he said, Mahatmaji, we will never forget you. We wish you all the best. Please take some portion with you, something to eat with you, and may you reach your goal. May you reach your Krishna. So they escorted him out of the house, and he chanted in desperation, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He fell so many times on his way to Vrindavan in ditches. He stumbled when he was tired and exhausted and fell, and he must have been bruised here and there. A blind man who follows the call of his soul. And it is possible that at that time he sang this one verse, which he later includes in the Krishna Kanamrita. It is verse number 40, and I request you to take your song sheet or verse sheet out. I will request Atul Krishna to just bring me the melody. Yeah, okay. He Deva, He Daita, He Bhuvanaika Bando. Yes, they're about. We have to chant in one voice if possible. So let's try this again. He Deva, He Daita, He Bhuvanaika Bando. Deva He Daita He Bhuvanaika Bando. He Krishna He Chapala He Karunaika Sindo. He Nata He Ramana He Nayana Bhirama. Ha ha kadanu bhavita si padam drishor me. Kadanu bhavita si padam drishor me. I will read the translation and then we will. You are still a little bit after your sleep, you know, after in your digestive period. This doesn't have the right sound yet. But here is the, you know, he has nothing and no one except for Krishna. And he addresses Krishna through his holy name, knowing that chanting is solving the miseries of in all the three worlds. So he says, "O my Lord, O dearest one, O only friend of the universe, O Krishna, O restless one, O only ocean of mercy, O my Lord, O my enjoyer, O beloved to my eyes, alas, when will you again be visible to me?" So let's do this again. There's some urgency here. He has lost his vision. Now he only wants to see the Lord, nothing else. So he calls out, I'm sorry, something is... In German language we say, I have a frog in my throat. He deva he daita he bhuvanai kabanno. Yes, beautiful, beautiful. He Krishna he chapala he karunai kasindo. Very nice, you're chanting very nice. He Nata, He Ramana, He Nayana Birama. Ha ha kadanu bhavitasi padam drishomi. And one more time, really call out. This is the verse which we can call out. He deva he daita he bhuvanai kabanno. Deva he daita he bhuvanai kabanno. He Krishna he chapala he karunai kasindo. He Nata, He Ramana, He Nayana Birama. Ha ha kadanu bhavitasi padam drishorame. He says, "Hey Deva, Lord," then he says, "Hey Daita." Daita means is an expression. You are so much beloved to me, oh beloved. And then he says, "Hey Bhuvanai Kabando." There is this word "eka" in it. "Eka" means alone. You alone are the friend of the universe, or only friend of the universe. We may sometimes look for friendships. That is necessary. We as human beings have a spiritual dimension, which is the main. We are the soul. But we also have a physical dimension. We need to eat. We have a mental and emotional dimension. We need to have good exchanges, and we need to feel the affection of others. And we have a social dimension. We want to relate to others. We are not alone for ourselves in this world. So these are the four dimensions of human existence. But the only true friend in all of this, that means the only lasting friend who will never misunderstand us, the friend who will never turn away from us, not even at our deathbed, that is Krishna. Do you know how you can see who is your real friend? The real friend you can see if he stays with you in hard times. The real friend comes to you when you are dragged before the court because you may be misunderstood. The real friend does not leave your side even when your body is carried to the cremation ground. That's a real friend. And I think you will agree with me. Only Krishna is like this. Only Krishna is with you in all situations, in the good and the bad. He is even in the catastrophic things in your moments in your life, I remember I was once dragged before the German court by my two beloved disciples. Phew. I was heartbroken. I was shattered to pieces. How could they do this? Why this Kali Yuga, this misunderstanding? And I remember I was sitting there waiting to be called by the judge. And I was just chanting, and I said, "Only you understand me, my dear Lord. Please be merciful to these two unfortunate souls who must suffer the same pains which I suffer at this moment." The judge declared me totally innocent, because it was very clear that there was no. It was just they had misunderstood something, and yes, they had done this. So I remembered at that time I was chanting and said, "Krishna, only you will understand me, 100%. Only you, only you." That's why he says, "Only friend in the universe." Imagine, he's blind; he doesn't have anyone now. No one is with him. His relatives are down in South India at the Krishna Veni. He is approaching. Let's just adjust this. He is approaching Vrindavan. He's somewhere in North India. He's a blind man, a helpless man. He says, "Bhuvanai Kabandhu, O only friend of the universe." Then he says, "Hey Krishna." Then he surprises us. He calls Krishna Chapala. Chapala means restless, fickle-minded, you would say. I looked it up. Chapalam is really, I've written it down here, yes, it's an inconsiderateness. Now, this is a difficult word in English. Inconsiderateness. Do you understand this word? It's someone is not considering another. That's called, and how he feels. So he calls Krishna like this. It's an chapalam means an inconsiderateness of the heart arising from attraction and repulsion. You know, a person who is chapala will make his decision, "Oh, I like this person." And then the next moment, "Oh, I don't like this person." And he does not care about the feelings of the other person at all. He uses rough words sometimes and is known for his careless action. This is Rupa Goswami's definition of chapalam in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, he calls Krishna Chapala. "You're restless. We never know what you will decide the next moment, where you will go, where you will look. You're playing and playing, and still we love you." But then he brings another name. "Hey Karunaika Sindhu." Again, this syllable Eka comes. That is the only ocean of mercy. These are contradictory qualities. Chapala on one hand and mercifulness on another hand. It does, you can never find these qualities in a human being. But in Krishna, you find them existing simultaneously. Although you are restless, and although you're here and there, according to your sweet desire, you are the only ocean of mercy. He doesn't say you are the only merciful person, because a person is somehow limited. But an ocean, wow, that has unlimited supplies of water, really. So he calls him Karunaika Bandhu. Sindhu. And then he brings out his request. He says, has two other words. O Nata, my Lord. Hey Ramana, my enjoyer. I meant for to give you pleasure. And Nayan Nabi Rama, you are the beloved of my eyes. Alas, when will you be visible to me? And Krishna came. Incidentally, he said, Baba, I'm going to Vrindavan. Let's go. I will help you. Here, I take your hand and let's go now. And he guided him. Krishna comes when we address him with such urgency. Not if we address him so lackadaisical, means so really, oh yes, again chanting, yeah, that's what we do in this movement, yes, why not? I hope it's only 10 minutes and so on. No, when we have some urgency, when we call out to Krishna like a helpless child calls out to the mother. That was the example of Prabhupada. Where is the child who has no tears in his eyes? It's gone. It's lost. Only someone who knows to cry out, a child, the mother will come. Otherwise, the mother will not come. Once Krishna was addressed, he said, my Lord, the law of karma is so compulsory. Everyone is bound by it. How does one become free from the reactions to one's own mistaken deeds? And Krishna answered, the cycle of karma which I have described is indeed insurmountable. For the demigods and the demons cannot overcome their karma. What to speak of the others? But know that mortals, means people who are on the path of who are going to die, empowered by my devotional service, have already escaped it. Do you know the sufferings of a true devotee are not because of his karma? It's because of his offenses, not because of the karma. Karma is not an action for the devotees, because Krishna has promised like this, those who are practicing bhakti, they have already escaped the cycle of karma. Cycle means there's an action, and what you do that comes around. There is an English word. What comes around comes around. The cycle of karma, in simple American terms. What comes around comes around. I don't understand how they say this, but yes, it's cycle. It's the idea. It's a cycle of karma. Yeah. My dear devotee, a materialist thinks, oh, my day is cursed if someone has offended me, or I did not make money, or a deep desire of mine is still unfulfilled. But a true devotee thinks, if I spend a day without hearing Harikatha, or if I spend a day where I was not relishing the holy name, ah, what's the use of such a day? It is cursed. It is cursed. It is cursed. I want to end this session and leave ample room for questions by bringing this point very clearly before your eyes. We are talking about the art of transformation, how we can, and we have taken the example of Bilva Mangala Thakur, who went from karma, selfish desires, to prema. If that is not a transformation, I do not know what is a transformation of the heart. This is what transformation means. The desires change. Instead of hunting for your own pleasure, you hunt, hunt is maybe not the right word, but you search for giving Krishna pleasure. This is the transformation of the heart. This is the purpose of this movement for Krishna consciousness. So, let us look for a moment. When you want to effect transformation on something, you need a so-called transforming agent that affects the transformation. An example, again, from alchemy, because we find that in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, you know, how an ordinary person can become a pure elevated soul, just like ordinary metal can turn into gold by the application of a process. You know, that, so process, the transforming agent. In the medieval times, in Prague, there were these alchemistic laboratories, and they would like to, they took lead very often. They melted lead, and then they had another substance which had undergone many chemical processes, and they poured that substance on the lead, and bang, the lead transformed into pure gold. That's the idea of alchemy. I know how to do this, by the way. I know you can confidentially ask me. Would you like to know? Just on the side. First of all, you must be a yogi who is totally in control of the pranas moving in his body. And then you drink pure mercury. Only a drop can kill an ordinary person. And then you wait until the call of nature comes. And when it comes, not the big call, but the small call, then you take a copper, go in the bathroom, lock the door, and answer the small call of nature on the copper. And then it will turn into gold. I wouldn't recommend this to you because you will kill yourself. But I have heard that during Gandhi needed a lot of gold for his non-violent resistance movement. He had expenses. So there was a yogi who went in the bathroom and helped him like this. That's what I heard. I hope it's not one of these grandmother sayings. I can't guarantee. I also never experimented with this. And I don't intend to. You need a transforming agent to affect transformation of the heart. And we will find, when we study the Patanjali Yoga Sutras, a very interesting point, which Prabhupada took up in his preaching. See, in yoga, you want to attain ultimately samadhi, full absorption, and if you are personalist, in the form of Paramatma, in the heart, Ishvara. So that can be attained, that goal of full absorption, detachment of the mind from this world and everything worldly, either by the meditative processes of Ashtanga Yoga, not the the processes of Ashtanga Yoga, or it can be obtained by surrendering to the Lord, Ishvara Pranidhana, and that surrender is effected, you do that, by chanting His name. So the commentaries explain there's one commentary by Vyasadev. He says, why are the names of the Lord mentioned here as bringing one to the highest states and transforming the consciousness? Why? On what strength? And then he gives Vyasadev gives an example. He says, the names of the Lord are the Lord himself and are imbued with his Shakti. So when they are chanted, they become active on the heart of the chanter. And then he gives an example. If you take an iron ball, he mentions an iron ball, maybe like a ball, you know, a ball. When you put that in fire, the fire enters the metal iron and fireizes it, so that iron is no longer cool and cold and so on, but it is energetic. And if you put it into straw, it will light up the pile of straw. It will and so on. It acts like fire because the fire has entered it. So someone who chants, that is the reasoning, the sacred names of the Lord, will have the Lord entering his heart and his tongue, and that Lord who is now infused into your consciousness and into your body, that Lord will then transform everything and fireize you or Krishnarize you. That is how the immense power of the holy name is explained. Krishna is identical with his holy name, and if you chant him patiently every day, again and again, with respect and with joy, not out of duty, then, my dear Lord, the Lord in the heart, the Lord enters your heart and will make you a member of the blissful people. Yes, wouldn't we all like to join this group? The member of the blissful people. Now I want to become a member of the ecstatic people. That happens when, by the power of the Lord, who enters the heart and from there affects the all the changes which you know. Therefore, we cannot have any Bhakti Granta, any Bhakti scripture, which is in line with Gaudiya Vaishnavism, without the glorification of the holy name. In fact, the Bhagavatam, the highest Bhakti scripture, ends really, or towards the end, it has a glorification of the holy name. And you will find that in the 12th canto, third chapter it starts, 12th canto, third chapter. There it is said, Kale dosha nide rajan asti he kamahat gunan. I recite this at the beginning of each kirtan mela if I'm requested to say something. I say, the verse says, my dear King Parikshit, I have good news for you. Says Shukadev Goswami, I have described about the effects of Kali Yuga. It's terrible, terrible, terrible age. But although Kali Yuga is an ocean of falls, an ocean, there's still one single good quality about this age. That is simply by chanting Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya, the name of Krishna, or the it's translated here, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Be clever. Be intelligent. See, this is our chance. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very wonderful explanation. Can I read it to you? Good. Now it is said that Kali is the best of yugas. Best, very best quality. Although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, one good quality rules like a king over his kingdom. As one king alone kills many thieves, this one good quality destroys all the faults of Kali that were just mentioned. What is that quality? It is through chanting alone, which is independent of meditation and other processes, that one attains the highest human goal, prema. Or chanting by itself can produce results, and then what to speak if one combines meditation and the other bhakti processes with chanting. Already chanting is working so well. And if what to speak if you add meditation to this on Krishna and his qualities, like Bilva Mangala Thakur does. Now, Hey Krishna, what was it? Hey Deva, oh Lord. Hey Daita, oh beloved. He meditates about Krishna. Hey Bhuvanaika Bandhu, you are the only friend of in the Bhuvanas, the three Bhuvanas, the three worlds. Meditation is going on. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. There's one last verse which I would like to say. When the holy name is meditated upon by those about to die, he, the holy name, reveals to them their own eternal spiritual identity. Maybe we have in this assembly some devotees who feel attracted to developing their own original constitutional nature. And maybe some of these devotees have lost faith in the chanting and gone to other processes. But there is no need. Take heart. Take courage. It says, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, a dying person's meditation on the Lord will cause that person to attain prema for him. One may ask, how does the Lord know that they are meditating on him? And the answer is, although others may not know, he knows, because he is the soul of all. One may ask further, why does the Lord give prema just because one meditates on him once? And the answer is, he does so because he is the shelter of all beings, sarva sankshaya, and from him arise all practices as well as the results of these practices. What is so remarkable about this for the Lord? He is so magnanimous. The chanting, even on the deathbed, my dear devotees, will bring the Lord to your side, and he will give you, he will say, enough circle of birth and death, enough is enough. You now come to me. And he will show you your eternal spiritual form and that aspect of him which responds to your mood of worshipping the Lord. Hare Krishna. So I just was so, when I read this Krishna Kanamrita, I was just so overwhelmed to see that even the Naam theology, you could say, which came with as a gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is fully represent. And I want to again make this point to you in for now closing. Wow, we are so in time. What happened with me? For transformation, you need a transforming agent. Don't sit around and wait for something to miraculously occur in your life. That may come. Krishna may give you undeserved mercy. But my request to you is apply the transformative agent, the chanting of the holy name, with increasing faith. And that faith in the holy name will increase boundless if you combine your chanting with good and authorized knowledge about Krishna, his beautiful form, his beautiful pastimes, and so on. For this, we have created this facility so that you can hear about Krishna. We have first the holy name, a retreat, and then afterwards we have the, we call it the Govardhan retreat. We still need a, because both are Govardhan retreats, but we need another name maybe eventually. And I thank you very much for hearing. My dear devotees, when we hear about Krishna, we should not hear about Krishna alone. This point is raised by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Krishna Katha means to hear about four items related to Krishna. Not one. Four. First, his devotees in this world, how they act towards Krishna. That is why today it was my this time it was my desire to tell you about the amazing story of Bilva Mangala Thakur, a devotee in this world who attained the highest ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. It's motivating. We can see as an example, and we can take or pick out the elements of his let us say his journey, if we want to give such a name to his story. We can pick the elements and apply them in our own transformation. This was the purpose, this was the frame of this seminar. No? Because when I dealt with this, I saw this central theme of transforming material desire to spiritual desire. And I was totally surprised and looked in his book and found different transformative agents. And the second item in Krishna Katha is we should hear about the Parishads, that means the eternal associates of Krishna, like Nanda Maharaj, how he deals with Krishna, how Krishna deals with him, Yashodama, Sudama, Sridham, the cowherd boys, and the gopis, Srimati Radharani. Then we should hear about Krishna's general pastimes as he comes into this world. You know, it's always we need to relate Krishna to this world, how he appears in his different avatars, like Nrisimhadev, who protects the devotees and removes the obstacles, how he saved the Vedic scripture as the Matsya avatar, how he came as Lord Buddha, how he came as the smiling Lord Vamana, who said one thing and had another plan. We hear that. And then we should hear Krishna's pastimes as they are delineated in the 10th canto of the Bhagavad Purana, the Bhagavatam, because these pastimes relate to Krishna in Vrindavan, in Goloka Vrindavan, which is the goal of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, of us, the Rupanuga Vaishnavas. No? These four items are very important. Devotees in this world and their story, eternal devotees, parishads, who directly interact with Krishna in his transcendental pastime. Krishna's activities in this world when he comes as an avatar, and Krishna's activities out of this world, so to say, when he is in Golok Vrindavan. And today, during this 5 days which we had together, I wanted to talk about a devotee in this world and wanted to extract the lessons from his past, from his pastime. These are very deep points, and I request you afterwards, we will have a little session where we will just ask you a question, and you will have to have some partner work what you understood. But if some of the concepts are new for you, they are very important concepts. They are not unimportant, not entertainment, but really necessary if you want the transformation in your heart. You may listen to the lectures again if you so wish, or you may go through your notes if you have taken notes, and in this way go through them. It has taken me many years to engage with these subjects, and I'm still thinking of these subjects often and come to deeper and deeper realizations. They are powerful. They are key. They are core. They are essential. They are what you need on your spiritual journey. Good. Phew. Hare Krishna. Now let us see where to go from here. Don't worry, we have still some things. Yes. Oh, we are. Very good. I thought maybe now we should do a little kirtan to pause our brain for a little while and let it absorb ourselves in this transformative agent of the holy name. And then I will request you to ask any questions, and then I have a very good partner, an exercise where you can where I will try to help you to mine some of the important points of this presentation. Yes, I noticed some of you, this is a good bathroom pause. You can also, pause is not the word. If you don't have to go, stay, but if you have to go, please. Namo everyone, Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pistaya Bhutale. Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari I request you to turn and face Giriraj, and we will chant now in the way which Srila Vyasadeva says a devotee should chant. That is, let the holy name enter us, almost like fire gradually enters iron and there affects a transformation of the iron. So how do you facilitate this, that the holy name enters? You need to really listen And here comes the surprise. Not to the others chanting, but you need to listen to yourself chanting. Means your sound. Therefore, we will have only slight instrumentation, which will not cover your sound. And then let that enter the deeper areas of your heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Just allow that the holy name enters you and pervades your being. On one of the Govardhan retreats, Bhurijan Prabhu gave an example which has somehow stuck with me. He said, when you bring a tea bag into a glass of hot water, no, there's a glass of hot water and you put the tea bag inside, the water will be infused, it will be pervaded with the tea, maybe camellia tea or peppermint tea, and then it's everywhere, in every drop it is there. So as you chant, let the holy name come through the ears to you, and let it pervade just everything what is with you, your whole mind, your thinking, your heart. That will be better. That will be good. Please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, one more time, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare Giriraj Govardhan ki Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo Hare Krishna.
So Hare Krishna, I'm very very glad because although there are so many verses which I wanted to also talk about, but I felt good. We have some taste now, some understanding it. Yeah, so Krishna, Sampurnam, it's finished now, the seminar. It was difficult for me to give this seminar because there is an entire dimension in that book which is which I felt not so, let me say, I felt it was maybe not so relevant to talk about this here because of wanting to frame everything in that transformation and make it relevant for the audience. But there is this other dimension where Bilva Mangala Thakur really speaks his verses no longer in his own, let me say, physical identity as a sadhaka in Vrindavan at Brahmandakund, but where he enters an entire different reality, where he is not a male person, and for that matter also not a female person of this world, but where he takes on his identity as an servant of Srimati Radharani and speaks what he sees Radharani is experiencing in relationship to Krishna. So that is a very, let us say, that is a subject matter which maybe as we all grow in Krishna consciousness can be discussed in the future when we are also more, when there is an audience which is interested in this aspect. But I thought, we are all interested in transformation, at least I am totally, and therefore I put this frame around the book. There can be other frames, and there are many jewels in this ocean of Krishna Kanamrita, which according to the frame and the method in which you enter the jewel, the ocean, will come out. It's actually unlimited because it's a true bhakti granta, a real bhakti scripture. So having said this, I want to now see if there are any questions, well considered. I would appreciate very much. I see Pancha Ratna. Please forgive me if I don't always see properly. My eyes are not blind, but getting there. So should we give you a microphone so that the... I hear, yes. Please, Pancha Ratna Prabhu. What to do? Method, yes. Thank you very much. And although time is there in your life and you are becoming older like all of us, your voice is very clear and very, wow, it can reach from here to America. It's so loud. Wonderful.
I was in New York City.
Acha. Acha. In the subways. In the subways. Thank you. From where do we get devotional feelings if we don't have them? Is one aspect of this question. And there's another, should we just somehow invoke them on our own? Bhakti always resides in the heart of the bhaktas. There we can find the bhakti. Hidden there, it's residing there, it's there. So these devotional feelings, come in the association of a true bhakta. I do remember one incident where Srila Prabhupada was chanting Jaya Radha Madhava. It was during the early Mayapur festivals, and as he was sitting on the Vyasasan, he all of a sudden discontinued. He stopped and he just sat there, and tears came out of his eyes, it was a long pause, really. And we all could see, oh, Prabhupada is relishing devotion. He's an advanced devotee, and that has come. In fact, I came to Krishna consciousness. It's very interesting, because when I entered the temple, well, I had entered as a regular, as a visitor. It was, I believe, my second or third visit, and there was a recording going on of Hari Haraye, where Prabhupada sang, and he came to a part. He really sings this with emotions. There are two recordings. One is where he sings really with devotional emotions. And I was stopped in my tracks. I remember, wow, what am I hearing? I've never heard this type of... I was touched. And these devotional feelings are necessary in the end. Bhakti means loving devotional service. There is something in it. It doesn't mean just do, 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 do. Bhakti has two forms. One is Cheshta Rupa and Bhava Rupa. This is a nectar of devotion. It has a form in which you do something. You do artics, you do reading in the scriptures, you visit pilgrimage, you do something with your physical limbs. But the king of the mind, obviously, or the king of the senses, the mind, needs to also be touched. And that is Bhava Rupa, a mood. And that Bhava Rupa does come as you, it will gradually arise when, as you are associating with devotees. What I very much recommend to do is to listen to great devotees speak, who are like Srila Prabhupada. His lectures are very good, and you can. It does something to you. I remember I was once very, let me say, again, very ill, and I needed to make a pause from my preaching. And it was after the surgery, you know, after this, where I almost died, the sepsis experience. I couldn't go directly into the field because the whole body was wrecked by the disease, and I needed some time to eat regularly, to sleep regularly, and to walk, to exercise. And I remember during this time listening to Prabhupada's lectures. And one day I remember I was walking in the mountains. It was fog around me, really romantic. I mean, only fog. I couldn't. I knew the path, but only 1 meter before me I could see, not further, not 2 meters. And I'm hearing this lecture. Prabhupada asks, "What do you do for eternity?" I must have said this multiple times because, what do you do for eternity? I was all about curing my body. I said, I didn't hear this. This was my mind. And I went back, with a on fast reward, rewind. And then again, what do you do for eternity? It can't be true. I mean, just imagining this. This is profound. I went back again. What do you do for eternity? Panjarana Prabhu, I listened to this 5 times or more, this one sentence, and I thought, I got it. I will quickly get healthy. I became enthusiastic. I will go back to my preaching field. I will serve like anything. In this way, I was moved by that urgent message, that urgency in Prabhupada's voice. It is something which comes also, spills also out of his literature. When you read his books, his purports, a type of urgency comes to you. Don't waste time. Use the unique opportunity of the human form of life to reach the perfection of human existence. Wow, these are profound. You hear these things over and over again. And then it comes. It comes. You will think this makes sense. And various bhavas, if you want to say, moods will come by imbibing them. It's infectious. It comes into your system if you are willing to expose yourself to it. That is my little answer. But yes, the mind needs to be also engaged, you know, not just the body. The mind, and we know so much. We can engage the body like anything. If our mind is envious, we're just wasting the whole day with envious thoughts or with other thoughts. So that must be purified also. Don't forget this. This is called the king of the senses. It must be transformed. It's very important. But it comes. The worst thing which you can do, what can spoil everything, is to imagine something. Today we were talking about this in another context. Sometimes devotees imagine they are friends. They talk and want to somehow make it happen, the relationship. They want to push it. But although they try it, because it's not real, it will not last. It will not be there. So this imaginative efforts, they're called kalpana in Sanskrit. There's a word reserved for this because it's such a common mistake. It doesn't bring you anywhere. This is not so good. Let it come from inside by hearing the being in contact with great devotees. Mm-hmm. Krishna Chandra Prabhu. Krishna Chandra is already 9 years at the Govardhan retreat, no? 9? Or? Yeah, good, Krishna Chandra Prabhu. 2011, yes. Please say. Have you heard Krishna Chandra Prabhu's question? He said, we want to capitalize on what we heard from Burijan Prabhu and other speakers. And he has one idea, he offers that. He speaks of the Mauritius devotees, there are a few from Mauritius, and says we could come together and chant together as we have done here. As a, you know, weekly, monthly, or in regular intervals. So he asked for an advice. Yeah, it is very interesting. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement spread at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when there was not an organized preaching movement. I'm just now concerned about that time period. There are other time periods, that just what happened right after Mahaprabhu, etc. But let's go to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There was no formalized Gaudiya Math with exalted preachers and temples and so on. So it spread at that time through what Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Namhata, small groups who would meet regularly. And when I saw one of these groups once, I was traveling or going with a Padayatra through, not Padayatra, Parikram, the Mayapur Parikram, which I'd done during Gopunim. And I was, Jai Pataka Maharaj invited me, would you like to come to a typical Namhata? And I said, yeah, of course. I'm preaching in this program. That's one of my focuses. So then I never forget this. We came to this one village and Maharaj took me. There was a house. When he came in, they were all very delighted and they worshipped us as they do in Bengal, with giving a foot wash, and they had cooked about 50 different types of vegetables. Bengal is very verdant, so much sabjis are available, different kinds. And so we came, and then they sang a song from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And this was a good group of maybe 20 villagers or so. So this meeting in groups, small groups, is very conducive to Krishna consciousness, because kirtan done alone is not as powerful as sankirtan, kirtan done with many. But it's interesting, this is a statement of Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandavas. He said, this kirtan will quickly bear fruit if you chant in the way of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is, with according to the verse, Trinadopi Sunichina, be more humbler than the straw in the street, more tolerant than the tree, ready to give respect and not demanding respect. He says like this. And then he says, Jiva Goswami, that shouldn't be very difficult in Kali Yuga because everyone is unqualified. That is anyways good, you know. We have all reason to be humble. So I was always thinking about this. Why does he bring this point here? And I think it is because the Sangatan movement, or singing together, is a blessed event as long as the members live by this verse, Trinadapi. But groups break apart by needless Kali Yuga quarrels of members who are not following this verse, really, but who are in a different mindset, not as humble as this, etc. So when you meet in groups, I have seen many groups fall apart because this verse was not observed while doing Sankirtan or by chanting, and the Kali entered. So yes, this is a good idea of coming together in groups. Tomorrow, I want to discuss the psychology of change or transformation, but I have that in my sleeve as a surprise, so I can't say it now, otherwise it's not a surprise any longer. There is four steps which can help you to stay on the wave, so to say. Good. Radhika Ranjan. Yes, please use the mic.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for your insights during these five seminars. My question is that in the examples that you gave, such as that of Bilba Mangala Thakur, and also from your personal life, it seems clear that in order to effect a transformation of desires, there needs to be some sort of calamity in one sense.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned, for example, being on the hospital bed or Bilba Mangala Thakur mutilating his eyes. So my question is twofold. One, is it completely necessary for something calamitous to happen for change to take effect? And secondly, if yes, then how does one accept that? Because I have to be honest, in my life, I don't feel I'm ready for the heavy hand of Krishna.
The heavy hand. What a nice way to say it. I want the light hand.
So, twofold.
There is this verse in the Gita where the heavy hand, in the Bhagavatam, where the heavy hand, as you say, so London-like, is described as when the Lord likes someone very much, he takes everything away from him, and we know Queen Kunti's prayers, send the calamities again and again. Yeah. My dear devotees, can I speak very honestly with you? You must promise that you will continue to come to lectures after this. No, I'm joking. I am like you, Radhika Ranjan. I say to my Lord, I know I am not yet 100% surrendered. I do things I prefer to do in my service, preaching, and so on. Please give me a little time before you use your heavy hand. I will learn on my own. I know these areas. I'm just now coming. You please, that is, I don't know. It comes from my heart. I cannot pray differently. I can't say, send me another sepsis, please. Or, you know, a near-death experience would also be really good. And another heavy this or that. I'm saying, my Lord, I'm willing to learn. And you see, I'm not arguing with the Lord, but I'm trying my best. Just now coming, and so on. And I mean it, and I'm working on. If you say like this, you must really work on yourself. Otherwise, you can't cheat Krishna. If you say, my dear Lord, I'm just now coming, but you turn just the opposite direction. Because there's also something interesting. Then the Lord cannot be cheated. I just listened to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada where he said, Krishna knows our heart and you can't cheat him. And the way he will bring us forward is he will send his Maya Shakti, who has two potencies, covering and pulling, or throwing, or you know. So that will come to every one of us, different offers of Maya. And at that time, you have to say, my Lord, I don't want this. I want you. And then the Lord will help you to conquer Maya and the test. That is how he describes it in a lecture. I thought, wow, I didn't know that, but it makes sense. See, let's be honest. Everything will be fast when our heart is pure. Everything will go slow when our heart is full of material desires. So why not purify the heart as good as we can? And the means is given in the Bhagavatam. It's chanting the holy name. The Lord accepts the chanter who is, although he may not be 100% everything, like the highest Param Vaishnava. He accepts that. And he acts from within to remove the abadranis, the unfortunate things. And we should also serve. That was my first point when about transforming. By hearing the Bhagavatam, serving a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, hands and feet, you know, by giving really valuable service, the inauspicious things will go. So don't think so much about the things which are still imperfect. We are all human beings. Think about the solution to that is hearing the Bhagavatam, of course, chanting also the holy name, and serving, doing some service. All of you should have a good dosis in the life of chanting the holy name, hearing the Bhagavatam, and serving. And everything will be all right, even if you are imperfect. Because remember, this is how Shukadev Goswami encourages Parikshit Maharaj. He says the ocean is an ocean of fault. And then earlier he has mentioned substances are impure, places are impure, but the difficulty is individuals are impure also, the motivations are impure. So how can you go with impure to pure? But there is this transforming agent of the holy name, if you want to use this word. So no problem. This hope. And never lose faith and never lose hope, and you will make it. Never, your faith will be attacked, your hope will be attacked, but don't become faithless and don't become hopeless. No need. Hare Krishna. Ram Murari. This do you understand the question? In Bilva Mangala Thakur's life, we see that he did something which was not appropriate, but I will repeat verbatim, but it led eventually to something very wonderful. So how is it in our own personal life when there appears something which may not be appropriate, but will that lead to something appropriate if we do this? Now, Western psychology will encourage you to do the inappropriate thing and says, go through it, make an experience, because otherwise it will always remain as a unfulfilled desire, more or less haunting you. Oh, why didn't I go to this particular Batman movie? It's one time in my village, you know, it was playing, you know. And, okay, let's go to the Batman movie and get it over with. And then I'm... That is what Western psychology would encourage you to do. In our Vaishnav philosophy, we do not find this, but we find something which I found very realistic. We are not encouraged to go to inappropriate areas and accumulate bad karma by this and bad sanskaras. But what we are encouraged to do is to use let me say it in my Sachinanand Swami way, to use the energy of this in something so on. Here, listen very carefully. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam which says that the yogi, when he always controls the mind, it will not work. He sometimes lets it free. And the example is given of someone who rides a horse. If he always keeps it, here comes the German word again, an der Kandare. I think you can hear Kandare. That's a strong word. It means and the horse is going like this. You have to sometimes let it run. The way Vaishnavas let their minds run is not to sin. not to bad activities, but they do swimming and wrestling. Means these are things which are mentioned. There may be other ways, other things, if it is very heavy. Or if they have, for instance, a problem with controlling the physical senses, they enter the Grihastha ashram, no, where in a pious and controlled way, where no accidents can happen. I mean, accidents can happen anywhere, but where there is some facility to eat nice food and to hang out with your friends, not be always on the kandare. That is there, but what is not there is sinful activities. There's a no-no where the devotees won't go. You know the four pillars of sinful activities: meat eating, intoxication, etc., illicit sex, gambling, these things. They are not encouraged. Hare Krishna. But this is a very honest question which Ram Murari has asked. Yes. Krishna, I will now see. Oh my God! No, not my God. This is my Giriraj. I'm a little bit over time, but we have 5 more minutes. I would quickly like you to turn to a neighbor now. Please find a neighbor. Now the question for you. Which point in the seminar struck you, and how can you use this in your own journey of transformation? What can you practically do when you're in the West, or if you stay in India, of course, when you go to your hometown or your service in your home temple? Please start now. What struck me, and what lesson can I take out of this for my life? So, Hare Krishna. Of course, like always, you can continue the conversation after this program. I will now say goodbye for you for this seminar. Thank you very much for attending. Tomorrow is a very, very interesting little detail which I would like to present to all of you. It's a conversation between Krishna and Bilva Mangala Thakur. The Lord will speak to him, and Bilva Mangala Thakur will discuss with him. It's very sweet and shows a little of what is bhakti. I thank you very much. All the best for you, and see you during the day. Hare Krishna.